Yes. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Maybe you are on CITR.ca listening. My name is Andy Resto, and this program is called The Burrow. And about half an hour or so ago, I just wrapped up an interview with Hunter Hunt Hendricks, who is the frontman of the band you just heard to open up the show. They are called Liturgy. They are from New York. And next week, next Monday, they are going to be here in Vancouver playing at the Electric Owl. That was Liturgy in their second stage, one might say, the 2011 album Aesthetica, with a song called Returner. After I play you guys this interview that I just completed, we will get into the new and, in my opinion, improved Liturgy, the rebirth of Liturgy, if you will. Their new album, The Arcwork, is out now on Thrill Jockey Records, and we will hear some of it later on in the show. But for now, without further ado, here is my interview with Mr. Hunt Hendricks of Liturgy. All right, so you are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Andy Resto. This show is called The Burrow. And I am joined right now by the frontman of the rock and roll band from New York called Liturgy. How are you doing, Hunter?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
Great. So you guys are you about to set off on tour, or are you in the middle of a tour right now?
We're sort of in the middle of the tour. Mm-hmm. We did East Coast lag for about 2 weeks, and we're on a break right now for about a week, and then we're headed out to the West Coast in a couple of days.
Awesome. Yeah. So,
we're kind of depending on how you talk it. We're in the middle of a tour.
Yeah. Tours. So you're going to be here in Vancouver next week. So thank you so much for joining me on the show this week. And I assume it is in support of the new album, The Arcwork, which just came out a few weeks back on Thrill Jockey. Wanted to start out by asking how you felt the reception has been for the album. I know in general it's certainly can be a very polarizing album to a lot of your fan base, and I wonder if that's something that you embrace or maybe don't pay any attention to at all.
Well, no, I mean, I pay attention to it. I mean, I care whether people like it or not. Yeah, it's been very polarizing, which I expected. Usually what we do is polarizing, but it has been far more polarizing than I expected, I think. And, I guess that's
kind of
cool.
Yeah, it means you're doing something right, I guess.
Well, what's that? I'm doing something right?
Yeah.
I mean, I was actually, you know, our earlier records were more obviously connected to black metal. And the primary audience for those records was a black metal audience, kind of, you know, even though that's not really the world that we came from. And so I understood that it made sense to me that this record was polarizing. This record is kind of more obviously not really a metal record at all. You know, it's kind of just like general weird music. And I was kind of expecting people to get that more, or to not really think of it in terms of metal so much. And I'm noticing that a lot of the conversation about the record is about, you know, how much different from metal it is, or how, you know, how like the starting point is still in reference to black metal. And it's kind of seen by a lot of people as like, it's like if you like black metal, you like Liturgy even more than you used to. I prefer when people see it as just kind of like a general it's just music, you know, it's just like a general kind of music. It's like a record. And I think that those people tend to like the record better.
Yeah, for my part, I certainly am enjoying artwork even more than Aesthetica, although Aesthetica is also great. The way I see it, it seems that to make an Aesthetica 2 is almost against everything you've written about black metal and what you're trying to do with your music. It would seem like that isn't progressing anything if you were just to do the same album again. And so the not even a complete left turn, but just the change of atmosphere is very fitting, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to develop, in a lot of ways, those earlier records were missing something that I wanted to put into them. Like this record, in a way, sounds more like my imagination of liturgy than those other records did. So in a way, I think there's a continuity, but I can also see it being seen as a left turn, and there are aspects of it that are definitely, elements that I haven't been planning on having in the band all along. But I wanted to really kind of flow with it and not think too much about what kind of audience would appreciate it or who would be listening or.
Yeah, of course.
That kind of thing. But.
Yes. I think you wrote an essay called Transcendental Black Metal as a part of a symposium a few years ago that I know, I'm sure you've had to talk about this a lot in interviews, but I think a lot of the movements you make in going forward in this album were anticipated in that paper, and I think a lot of it's very interesting. So I was wondering if first you can just touch upon what that essay was and what it was a part of, and then I'd like to touch on a couple of points. There's a lot of things in it, so we won't go over everything, but one thing I was very interested in is that it seems to echo a lot of the Death of God theologies from back in the 1960s or so, and I was wondering if that's something that was on your mind, and if you can touch upon that a little bit.
The reputation of that manifesto has, it's interesting. It's like that has become such a major part of the identity of the band, which is a little bit of a surprise to me, because at the time that I was writing it, the band wasn't very well known, and I didn't really know whether it would stick or not. There were two aspects to it. There's this vision of an ecstatic style of music that was rooted in black metal, that had different techniques, was rooted in a different spirit, also had continuity, and I've talked a lot about that. And then there's this kind of more existential side, that the music is supposed to mean something or be a way of living or be like a catalyst for a way of living. You mentioned Death of God theologies. I guess at the time I was very interested in French post-structuralism and the ethics of the real, which is a term coined by Alain Badiou, which involves encountering a truth and having faith in a process of allowing some sort of ineffable beauty that this encounter contains to manifest itself over time, and to suffer with the process, but and to kind of fight against existing forces that don't believe in you and things like that. And that was very important to me at the time. I was suffering a lot at the time. You know, I was very kind of mentally unstable and very unhappy. that's something that people don't really understand, I think, about the source of the manifesto, that it was something that I really needed to write kind of for myself. And the way that it has taken legs, what's the term, taken legs, like gained a life of its own in the world, is really weird to me, you know, because what my intentions were and who I am is not actually very well represented, I think, by the reaction to it. And that's kind of been something that I've been dealing with in the course of seeing what people think about that during this album cycle. But, like, it's kind of, I'm into it, but I'm also not into it in a way. Like I wish I could communicate better. Anyway, it's kind of a long answer. But,
yeah, it seems to give people, either good or bad, they immediately already have an idea of who you guys are supposed to be before listening to the music, in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's like, that's like the tags that go along with the manifesto or immediately are things like, you know, pretentious and obnoxious. When I wrote it, I was being very sincere, and I didn't intend a lot of the things that came from it. It's weird.
Two things that I really liked in it, and maybe I don't know if you wanted to touch upon briefly, was the idea of the penultimate in transcendental black metal. And that's why I was bringing up Death of God theologies earlier. It's this idea of kind of if, and it doesn't have to be, you know, in a Christian setting, but if God actually died, what does that mean for humanity now afterwards? And I think a lot of what you write about is kind of embracing reality in a way. And the second aspect is the change from what you call the blast beat to the burst beat, which I found interesting, but I don't quite have a full grasp on, although it seems like the new album, the Arcwork, kind of gets me a better feeling for what the burst beat is supposed to sound like. So I don't know if you wanted to touch on that a little bit.
You're on point with the idea about the open city. I think of it in, like, there's this theme of in the context of an atheist community, the possibility of a body of Christ that is an open-ended community of faith. Yeah, so like there's sort of an event, and then there's a truth procedure that comes from that event, and this community is united by love or some kind of fraternity or a political alliance or an aesthetic, but it's not aligned with any particular, like, social code that already exists in the world. And it's kind of like the remainder of what was so valuable about Christianity after sort of the death of God is accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that idea is very important to Zizek, a philosopher that I was really into at the time that I wrote the manifesto. And I think that's related to what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the burst beat. Yeah, I mean, I don't use that term as much anymore, but originally the idea, you know, was that there would be a new drumming technique that was based on the blast beat, but was more dynamic and chaotic, and would sort of, like, the beat would change along with chord changes. And like originally I worked on a drum machine, and then when Greg Fox joined the band, I worked out a way to make the burst be a live physical reality. And he and I had been playing music together for a long time, like in high school and stuff. And the burst beat was like, there's not much, there hasn't been much development with the burst beat since that first Liturgy record, since Annihilation. Like that's kind of the record that the burst beat is about.
Okay.
For this one, I was more interested in arrangements, you know, with resampling tracks and combining different kinds of instruments in like weird ways.
Yeah, I was wondering what if you could pin down some of the musical influences for the new album. It seems like it could range from, you know, classical arrangements, string arrangements, to even things like hip hop and sampling music. Is that accurate to say? Are those kind of things that were running through your head, either in vocal styles or in the arrangements that you were using?
Yeah, definitely. I have a very like particular array of music tastes, which spans a lot of different things. Metal isn't really the main one in any way. There's some rap in there, and a lot of different eras of classical music I'm really into, you know, early music and avant-garde spectralism and serialism and kind of post-romantic German and Russian Christian and that kind of thing. And although in a way, like, my main influence, like the first music I ever really identified with was stuff like Nirvana and Small and Bolt and these kind of like art punk bands in the Northeast who were like friends of friends with my last major. I wanted to kind of draw a circle around all of that and synthesize something that like pulled elements from all the things I love, but wasn't some kind of eclectic chain wreck, you know, something that actually made sense and coherence, but kind of like made the write the album that I would want to hear, you know, if I could combine everything I love and put it in a record, like Darkwork would be that record.
Yeah, that's one of the things I really appreciate about it, is its coherence, despite its varied influences and how wild it really is. For one of the final questions here, could you speak to maybe the importance of having the full band back together? I know after Aesthetica, two of the members left, and now the band's reunited, and if that's really been a positive driving force for the new album?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, when we're talking about the burst beat before, like, one of the reasons that I don't use it as a concept as much is because, like, since the time I developed it, you know, Greg has kind of become this, like, totally amazing drummer in his own right, and is doing all this other stuff. And it's great to have him walk through the joint bands, and that all happened very much at the 11th hour. And I was like a year ago, I would have told you that I was making this record like without the band members who weren't in the band anymore. And it's really nice that it didn't end up happening that way, because it's nice to have kind of continuity and sense of community, as a band, I think we're more in tune with one another now than we ever were before. You know, like the early years were a mess in a lot of ways. And it's cool to be able to just kind of like vibe together and sing these songs and have a good time.
Great. So, is there anything else that you'd like to kind of get out there? Anything you'd like to clear the air with a little bit before we take off?
To clear the air with? I guess last thing I'd just say is I hope people understand how sincere the music is. I've seen so much, so many like reactions to this record that people like it's fooling or like it's a joke or like it's some kind of experiment, and that's really not the way I see it. I see it, it's a really sort of ridiculously sincere and musical expression, and for better or for worse, maybe it's too sincere, but I don't like being seen any other way.
Just one final thing. Is there a track maybe you can point to on the new album that's a bit of a representation of the work as a whole that you maybe think is a centerpiece?
Sure. Vanna Ray is the longest song. It has most of the stuff. Although Kill Volhall, I think, is my favorite track.
Okay.
But it's kind of unique in a way compared to the others.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Hunter, for taking the time out to do this interview, and looking forward to seeing you guys here next week.
Well, yeah, thanks for talking.
I'm
looking forward to the show too.
Yeah, no problem. Great. Have a good one. And we are back. There we go. CITR 101.9 FM, this show is called The Burrow, and you just heard Kel Vol Hall, a track off of the new album, The Arkwork, by Liturgy. If you have been tuned in, and you just heard the interview I did with Hunter Hans Hendricks, frontman of Liturgy. If you're just tuning in now, it's not the end of the world. There will be podcasts, and you can catch that interview in the near future. So again, thank you so much for Hunter for taking time out to do that. I'm sure he's got a pretty busy schedule, and to take time to join a humble program such as this is always very much appreciated. And looking forward to seeing them next Monday at the Electric Owl. So, Kel Vol Hall, he mentioned was his favorite track off the new record. One of mine as well. Very good track. Has some of those kind of part of the hip-hop influences, not only the beats and the breaks in the beats, but also some of the vocal styles he uses. I read somewhere that it was influenced by things like 3-6 Mafia and stuff, which is very, very interesting. After a brief respite with some important PSAs here, I'm going to come back and play some Swans, who Hunter mentioned as one of his primary influences growing up. And anytime you get a chance to play Swans, you might as well take it. So, you are still tuned in to CITR 101.9. Stay tuned. I am going to be around till about 4 p.m.
Snail Productions presents Inherent Vices with guests Ace Martins, Poor Baby, and Mary. Saturday, April 25th at the Railway Club. $10 cover, doors at 8:30.
Hey, you! Stop! Stop there! You! Who are you?
I'm a local musician.
I've never seen you.
Well, we've never actually played a show.
You should submit to Music Waste.
What's that?
Music Waste is a local music festival taking place throughout East Vancouver from June 4th to 7th, welcoming submissions from all musical genres and bands with varying levels of experience. Not a musician? You can also submit to Art Waste, a collaborative art festival presented by Music Waste. Submissions are open until April 17th. To submit, visit www.musicwaste.ca.
Thank you. lousy smart weather.
This issue of Discorder, there's no more Discorder. Discorder is over. Vancouver housing crisis, commercial plates, black floods, Richmond underwater. No more Discorder ever. No more Discorder ever. There's no more Discorder ever. There's no more Discorder ever. Discorder ever.
Spring is here. This April, pick up an issue of Discorder from a local venue or record store for articles on Sumac, Snit, Saradavachi, Record Store Day, and more. Special thanks to this month's advertisers, Levitation Fest, Rickshaw Theater, Light Organ Records, Beat Merchant, Red Cat Records, Neptune Records, Horses Records, Audiopile Records, Dandelion Emporium, High Life Records, Vinyl Records, Live Van, and AMS Events.
April makes fools of us all.
Tune in every Thursday from 11 p.m. till midnight for Copy and Paste with your host, Tim, a.k.a. Autonomy, the very best in underground dance music.
Still listening to The Burrow on CITR 101.9 FM, and we heard Swans with a song called Job off of their second full-length LP called Cop. The year, I don't know, 1981, 82? That's going to be my guess. I could be wrong about that. Could be 1979, 80. Anyhow, following that was a brief soundscape from Lightning Bolt off of their new record called Fantasy Empire. I think it has been getting a good amount of spin here at the station. I've seen it near the top of the charts. It is also a new release from Thrill Jockey, same record label as Liturgy, who I interviewed earlier on in the program, if you missed that. For the last quarter, the last portion of the show here, we're going to return to Vancouver. Had a very nice record store day on Saturday. Hopefully maybe some of you out there listening were tuned in to our live broadcast with CJSF. If not, lots of good performances. If you missed any bands you might have wanted to see because you had to be at another store, well, we caught a lot of good acts on Saturday, and you can listen to the recordings of those in the near future. Bands like The Back Homes, Gender Dog, and more, Tonya Aganaba, all were part of the broadcast. Very nice day. I'm going to play an old song by a band called Peace. Dan from Peace is the one half of the ownership of the pretty recently established Horses Records, who had their first record store day ever on Saturday, and it was very nice. I was happy to be part of the broadcast from that location. Peace, working on a new record, which should be coming out, I believe, this year. This, however, is from one of their first EPs called Slow Children, and the song is called Skipped on the Bill. We'll be right back. That was Mormon Crosses here on the Borough CITR 101.9 FM. Hoping to have Mormon Crosses on the program next week. If not next week, I think going to be able to work it out for some time in May anyhow. So looking forward to that. Thank you all for tuning in this week. If you missed, first half of the program was dedicated to an interview I did with Hunter Hunt Hendricks of Liturgy. Liturgy is coming to Vancouver next Monday, playing at the Electric Owl. I would recommend anyone to go and check that out next week. Jade is here and is coming up next with Little Bit of Soul to close out the show this week. Ace Martin's playing at the Railway Club on Friday. Thought I would just play a track of theirs. Well, the track is called Know You from Silent Days. At the time this was recorded, it was a one-man show. Of course, now it has developed into a full-on band. Friends of the program, so therefore going to close this week's episode with Know You by Ace Martins. Thank you all for listening.
I told Hello, my dear CITR listeners. It's good to be back in the studio after not being here last week. You might have caught the rerun show. You're listening to Little Bit of Soul on CITR 101.9 FM, and I've got some exciting stuff coming up for you on this hour's program. We've got some more vinyl picks of the week from some artists you might not have heard of, and we are also going to be listening to some other artists you might have heard of. We are coming from the unceded Musqueam territory here in Vancouver. This is CITR 101.9 FM. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. I'm Jade, your host for A Little Bit of Soul. So, like I said, we've got a fun show coming up your way. Hopefully, it'll help you relax if you're in the midst of exam period right now. If not, I hope you're sitting back and enjoying the sunshine, a beer, and the show. We are going to start off today with a piece by Benny Goodman, or performed by Benny Goodman. It was written by Cole Porter in 1936. It's called Riding High. Now, when I was researching the song on the World Wide Web, I have a funny story for you. I was researching the title of the song.